If you have your Bibles with you, please take them out. Turn to the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. Don't worry, I'm not preaching, I'm just reading the Scripture. Pastor Jephthah is here to preach, but I'm going to read the Scripture first, and then I'll introduce him. Hear now God's Word as it is given to us in 1 Corinthians, 1st chapter, verses 18 through 31. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. And may the Lord bless this reading of His Word to our understanding. Let's ask Him to bless Pastor Jephthah as he brings the Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this powerful Word, the foolishness that it is talked about here, that Paul talks about, but the power that lies behind it. We ask that You would give that power to Pastor Jephthah this morning as he brings the message. Speak through him. May his words be Your words. May those that have gathered, who have gathered here today in Your name, understand clearly the power of the gospel as Pastor Jephthah shares his message this morning. We will give You the glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. For most of you, Pastor Jephthah does not need an introduction. But if you don't know who he is our dear friend and brother and partner, ministry partner in Haiti. We are so blessed because the Lord has called us as a church to share what we have with those who don't have as much, but not just the material things of this world. The spiritual resources that we are given in this country are immense. And for us to be able to share the gospel and to share the word of Christ in an environment where we already know the ministry is going forward in the name of Christ is of great value to us as a church. And Pastor Jephthah has been the one to lead that ministry, following in the footsteps of his father, Pastor Sidwan Lucien, who has also graced this pulpit, in an amazing way in the Plateau Central of Haiti. Starting out with just a single church in the 1970s, there are over 70 church plants right now, 43 of which are full-blown churches, 23 Christian schools, thousands of people who are being taught the Word and taught the truths of Scripture throughout a part of the country that most of the world has forgotten. And he has a marvelous message for us this morning. So without further ado, let me introduce and welcome my friend and brother, your friend and brother, Pastor Jephthah Lucien.
God bless you. It is such a pleasure to be back at my own church. It's good to have church all over Haiti and church here. I am so thankful for you. I am so glad that the Lord has brought you into my life. And I believe that he has something, some word for you, for me to share with you this morning. And I'm thankful for this opportunity. I'm preaching about the subject. There is something about preaching Christ. There is something about preaching Christ. I just want to remind you that, about the fact that there is something about everything that you do in life. I'm not just talking about consequences. I'm talking about something special about everything in life. Just as we sing, Jesus, 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 there is something about that name. Heaven and earth will all pass away, but there is something about that name. It is not just about Jesus. I believe that there is something about everything. Sometimes there is something good. And sometimes there is something bad. There is something about life. And I'm telling you, there is something about dying. There is something about being a student. There is something about being a teacher. There is something about being a parent. There is something about being a child. Something about being young. Something about being old. There is something about being a doctor. There is something about being a patient. Something about being a nurse. There is something about driving. There is something about walking. There is something about being a Christian. There is something about being a non-Christian. Whatever you do, whether by obligation or by other motivation, I am sure there is something about it. The Apostle Paul, in his writing to the Corinthian believer, especially in his first epistle, he had some strong messages for them. Among so many things, he said, as he reminded them in chapter 2, verse 2, the following. He says, "For I resolve to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Then in chapter 3, he tells them to stop promoting Paul or Paulos or even himself. He didn't want them to promote anybody else, but he wanted them to promote Christ. So many places he asked them to allow Christ to be seen by others in their own spiritual lives, and even in their marriage, like in chapter 7. One of my most attractive passage or remark is in chapter 10, where Paul reminds the Corinthian that even the water that they drank while they were traveling in the desert, they got this water from a rock. And this rock was Christ. In chapter 15, he spelled out in such a clear language the gospel message that he believed was, is, and will always be that Christ has died for our sin. According to the scripture, he was buried and resurrected on the third day. Now we believe that he's in heaven, offering salvation and forgiveness to every sinner who repents and believe. And in verse 58 of chapter 15, Paul says, "Now you be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because your work, your labor in the Lord is never in vain." Now, as he was preparing them to get these strong messages, it reminds them that there is something about preaching Christ, which is the main business of every Christian's life. This something, we find it in verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 1. He says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." As I meditate on what you have been doing the most with me in Haiti for the last decade, I cannot think of any other reminder for you. It is exactly what the apostle has said to the Corinthian. I understand that your heart is into this. You have been passionately preaching the message that points to Christ on the cross. This is excellent. There is no better way to go. And I am here to encourage you to continue to be steadfast, immovable, always abiding in the preaching of this message that points to Christ on the cross. However, let me remind you, just as Paul did to the Corinthians, so you don't get any surprise that what you are doing can be seen as foolish. We are people who are saved and set apart by God. We are called to a higher purpose for God. We're going to heaven. However, what we're doing for people who are not going to heaven, it is seen as foolish. You understand what I'm talking about? We're living in a world, and even this is being brought into the church, that the main business of people's life are to be fighting for entertainment, for material possession, and for control. What the Bible calls the lust of the flesh and of the eyes, pride of life. This is what's saturating our world. And it is easy, even in the church, to be going after this when you are not going according to the world mindset, according to the world agenda, going for pleasure, possession, position. You can be looked at as being foolish. But notice what the Bible says. It is foolish for those who are perishing. But for us who are saved, this is the power of God. Preaching Christ, the something about it, it is foolish, but it is powerful. And I'm not just talking about just standing here and preach the gospel message. I'm not talking about just sharing verbally the gospel with someone. I'm talking about making Christ the center of your life. Living in a way that people can see Christ in you. Having a church where the focus is on preaching Christ and Christ alone. This can be seen as being foolish, as being absurd, as being crazy. But remember, according to God's word, it can be foolish, but it's powerful. I am in Haiti, as you know, using every second, every minute, every penny, everything that I have to preach Christ, to make him known wherever it's not known. I firmly believe that the church that is preaching the message that points to Christ on the cross is God's main powerful instrument to transform lives, families, communities, the entire country of Haiti, and the entire world. That's why I dedicate my life to do just that in Haiti. I go on the mountains, over the hills. Every forsaken corner and dark holes, I go everywhere, cross oceans, walk through rivers and lakes to preach Christ and establish his church. So many people think that it's foolish. They think I'm crazy. I don't know if we'll have the opportunity, but I showed this morning what I did just last week. There is an area that I started a church called Hoi Kano. During rainy season, the only way that we can get there is by taking a canoe. We park our vehicle. We walk 30 minutes. And this is my wife right there with another preacher. I thank you for praying for her. But Lord's will, one day she'll come. But she was unable to come this time. We walk for 30 minutes. We get to the lake. We take the lake for another 30 to 45 minutes. And after that, we walk another 30 minutes to go to a place where no one else would have gone to establish a church. We cross some creeks to do what? Just getting a couple who's come to know the Lord and became so instrumental to the founding of the church. We wanted to get them married. They're going to be established as leader of the church, and they've been living together for a few years. They have children, and the kind of situation they were living in, they could not take the leadership of the church. And so we had to go through some scary moment, to being on a canoe like this and walking to get to that place. She appreciated so much. The lady was getting married, was so appreciative of the fact that we were part of her wedding. She shed so many tears of joy that we were there. On our way back, the water was not as calm as it was going there in the morning. And I even spoke to someone while I was there, and they were telling me how crazy that was. That was foolish for me to go to that place, preaching the gospel, establishing the church, nurturing the new believer, training the leader. It was crazy. And while I was on that water, I believed that it was foolish. The other pastor was scared to death. At first he was smiling, but got to the point he was wondering, what's going on? Is Jesus sleeping somewhere underneath? It was really crazy. We had to be there. It's foolish. But when you take into account what we went to do, it was powerful. I'm so glad I got this opportunity to be there and be part of this and do this and preach Christ and make him known. And this is not just that. Most of the time in Haiti, as a pastor, I just wake up with the crawling of the rooster. Some of you know it by a choir of mosquito. The ringing of a bell at 3:30 for prayer. I walk in dust when it does not rain and in mud after the rain. Sometime in one day, I might have 15 to 20 people coming to me trying to find spiritual, emotional, or financial help. I just count it as a privilege. However, sometimes these things can be such an instrument that the devil uses to make me feel dry and get discouraged. Sometimes when I feel so down, I pray for myself and my trouble don't seem to even go away. A few months ago, I fell asleep on a chair and I felt so discouraged, so disappointed, so dry. I just give of myself. But every time I understand that I'm just a soldier on the front line with some mastermind behind me, trying to pray and orchestrate and support me, this encourages me. I know that you are there with me. Even when I don't see you, God make me feel that there are a lot of prayers behind me. I can remember that a teenager one day sent her parents to come get me so I can come and pray for her at 11:30 in the evening. She was so afraid. A voice kept on telling her that she was going to die, and she could not sleep. I went and prayed for her, and the Lord put her to sleep through the reading of his word, through counseling from God's word, and also through prayer. She's been fine since then. Another night at around midnight, a woman knocked on my door. When she talked and I could know who she was, that was a very well-known married woman who was being beaten by her husband and did not want to stay in her house. As she was talking, there came the husband. He knew exactly where she came to after she opened the door. She came directly to her pastor's house. There is no 911 to call for help. And I started a counseling session right there in the middle of the night. I tell you that it sounds crazy, but that's the way it is. I only have one tool, using the Bible, sharing Christ with them, breaking hope to their marriage, asking Christ to give me the wisdom that it takes to encourage, to uplift, to bless, and to bring hope back. Some people would see this as a waste of time, and it's challenging, it's foolish. But I believe that as we get the opportunity to get these marriages restored, to bring hope to these young people, this is powerful. I'm thankful that God has allowed me to dedicate my life to preach the message that points to Christ on the cross. There's a young man that asked his parents to call me 5 o'clock in the morning after I got back from prayer meeting. And his mother told me that he was brushing his teeth and he fell on the floor. When I showed up, he told me that, "Pastor, since you prayed for me yesterday to receive Christ, I felt so troubled. In the middle of the night, I heard a voice telling me, 'Why did you do that to me? I am very disappointed in you.' Then I found out that this is a young boy who's been going so often to voodoo and witchcraft ceremony. The devil had claimed him to become a witch doctor. And we've been sharing the message of Christ with him. And the moment that he received Christ in his life, something happened. His friends thought he was foolish. The devil thought that was crazy. But God had grabbed a hold of him, released his power on him. And now it was declared openly that he did not belong to the devil anymore, but he belonged to Jesus Christ. And so I had to go and pray with him and comfort him and started counseling him and had so many sessions with him. Right now, this is a preacher of the word. This is crazy. We're having a crazy life preaching Christ in Haiti, which we believe is the only hope. But it's powerful. For people who are perishing, it's foolish. But for us who are being saved, it's the power of God. The word of God continues by saying that it is not just foolish and powerful. It is foolish also. But God has turned even his foolishness to the point that it's better than men's wisdom. It says, where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand for miraculous sign and Greek look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than men's strength. We can be looked at as foolish, but our foolishness to preach the message of Christ is wiser than men's wisdom. I have a friend of mine, when I was leaving the States in 1996 to go to Haiti, he told me that, "Jeff, are you crazy? There are things that you need to do before you go back to Haiti. You can't dedicate your life and say you're just going to plant churches in Haiti. You're not practical." But later on, when he saw God's releasing his power on me to transform life through the preaching of the message that points to Christ on the cross, he understood that he was wrong. When he was thinking about doing big things, big building, stuff that could impress the world, then he understands that my foolishness to dedicate my life to preach Christ was better than his wisdom to live for himself, to live for the world, to do things that look good to the eyes of man. God has been using us. As you pray and support us to show the world that the greater wisdom is found in the preaching of the cross of Christ. There are so many discussions right now about what can be done, how much money can be given to change the situation of Haiti. But we know that Haiti can be changed only when its people are changed. And its people cannot be changed until they receive, they accept, they live by the message that points to Christ on the cross. You get it. You're doing it. It's wiser than men's wisdom, even though men think that it's foolish. There is something about it. Foolish, but powerful. Foolish, but better than men's wisdom. It's foolish, but you need to remember that God meant for it to be that way. God wants it to look foolish. A perfect example is my calling, your calling, God's calling upon your life. He says in verse 26, brothers, think of who you were when you were called. Not many wise according to the flesh were called. Not many noble were called. Not many from high society, family. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses? God chooses a big bunch of nobodies. That makes it quite clear that none of us can boast in his presence. God, wanting to glorify himself through the preaching of the message of Christ on the cross, has chosen you, has chosen me, has chosen your pastor. Without God's grace and the Holy Spirit being released upon his life, your pastor could not have been here. He would be like a drug addict, like an alcoholic on the street, not being able to stand or to walk. He could be a pastor here and not spending his time, dedicate his life to concentrate on breaking the message all over the world. God did that so that you understand that he meant for you to be looked at as foolish. So we can't say that we're here because of who we are, because of what we can do. But we can honestly say that it is because of his grace. We're foolish. People see us as being foolish. The way we do church, the way we preach, what we're doing, what you help do all over the world. Your understanding of what can transform the world. A lot of people can look at it as foolish. But God meant for it to be that way. That's why he chose you. Nobody's. It transformed your life. You had bad experiences. You could not take yourself out of where you were. And it transformed your life. He brought you here so that you can continue to bring the message of hope, the message of the gospel that points to Christ on the cross, to hopeless, to give hope here and there. So it is clear. We are called to preach Christ, to know him, and to make him known. You know that people really value what others think about them. But we value what God thinks about us. There is something about preaching Christ, which is supposed to be the main business of our life. Some people think it's foolish, but you remember that God thinks it's powerful. Some people think it's crazy, but you remember that God has turned men's wisdom to foolish to the point that our foolishness is better than their wisdom. Some people think that preaching Christ is foolish, but remember, in calling you and I, God proved that he meant for it to be that way. And so, let us continue to preach Christ. Let us continue to learn about him so we can know him and make his name known as the main business of our lives. Let's continue to take Christ in us and take him out to everyone in the world. Let's continue to keep Christ and continue to share him with the clear understanding that the world needs to be changed. And this change, transformation, is going to come about through what we are doing. Investing our lives, who we are and what we have, to preach Christ. To share him with others. And to see God bringing hope, transform life through the power of the gospel message. May he motivate you, urge you, help you to understand that this is it. Let's continue to work together as we continue to glorify him through the preaching of the message points to Christ on the cross. Let it be so for you. May God bless you.